Lord, your word sheds its light on each of us, on our personal married life, family life. We ask that we might have humility to apply your word to ourselves with humility, and grant us understanding, we pray this morning, of what the Apostle Paul says, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. I think it might help you to have your Bibles open on page 1176, Ephesians 5, verse 21, page 1176. First this morning, an apology. I am not going to deal with remarriage, singleness, Christians marrying those who aren't Christians, or divorce. What we can all admit is that all of us are aware in some areas of our life of falling short of God's ideal. I want to focus in on what marriage is intended to be, as God intends it to be today. By way of introduction, let me make a few quick comments as to what the Bible says about marriage. It is exclusive. It's intended to be that. And yet that's under constant attack, with a view of sexuality which says, I need lots of partners. It's to be permanent and total as well. It is attacked currently in the name of freedom and choice. So people talk about vows being bondage. I even had a student say to me some years ago, I don't have girlfriends, I have bedmates. Uncertain as well. You don't know what she or he'll be like in 40 years' time or 60 years' time, as you think about the mazes today. What will she be like at breakfast? What will he be like at breakfast? And the marriage service has a realism. It is for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Exclusive, permanent, total, uncertain. And today there's this limited liability view of marriage as well. So people say, let's have a trial marriage. They think that's common sense. It may shock you, but in the United States and now in the whole of Europe, there's been surveys of married couples. And it's now undoubtedly proven in both places, Europe and America, that cohabitation means it's more likely that your marriage will fail, I'm not prophesying it will, more likely than if you do not live together before you're married. And you know, friends, marriage seems to be as popular as ever. Many who get divorced remarry in a short time, but that's not always a very wise thing to do. And even if the experience of marriage is unhappy, ideas of marriage are still believed in, and people are happy to have another go. Marriage is such a strangely mixed human experience. It attracts such high hopes, and no doubt there's some here who are hoping very strongly to one day be married, and yet also contains such a strange blend of intense happiness and bitter pain. It's been said that marriage is like a besieged city. Half of people want to get in, the other half want to get out. And there's some very bad jokes which owe their poignancy to the mixed nature of marriage. It's said, for example, that marriage is the highest compliment that a man can pay a woman, and usually the last. And if you're married, you'll probably be aware whom you're statistically most likely to be murdered by. I'm not going to go through this and apply it in every area. I want you to do that in your marriages or as you ponder it yourself, if you're perhaps a widow or widower or single. You must work out what it means for you. And what I'm saying today is as important the unmarried as the married. Whatever your marital status is, you need to have your ears open to what Christ's Apostle Paul is saying. I will give you the principles Paul gives. You must then work them out in your own life. Well, Bible reading contains, in our culture currently, incendiary phrases like, wives, submit to your husbands. And even to both husband and wife, submit to one another. And we don't like that word submit, but the Bible teaches us that in all our relationships, and especially marriage, our relationship with each other is bound up by our relationship with God. That's why the New Testament says that Christians should marry Christians. You see, marriage is God's invention and idea. And here we're told how to live in marriage, the Maker's instructions. Peter and Sue were married in a church 6 years ago. And some decades ago, is what I said. And actually, by being married in a church, that Christian believers not just marrying each other, but as Christians, they're continuing to submit to the larger reality of life, as we do in every area of life, including not just life, but death. That first verse read for us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a foundational principle of the husband and the wife, a mutual submission, putting the needs of the other first. Marriage is intended to be a school of unselfishness and duty, and love is continuing to learn its true work, finding its well-being in the joy and flourishing of the other. I was, for some years, a minister at All Souls Langham Place by the BBC, and there was a girl in our congregation, and she got engaged to a man, and Pippa came to see me. She said to me, John, I'd love you to marry me next summer in church. And I said, that's fine. And we discussed it. And when her fiancé and her came to see me, they said, we'd like you to preach on Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. My heart sank because Pippa was part of a woman's hour team of journalists. And I suddenly thought, I can have Jenny Murray and all that team in church. And I did have them there. The interesting thing is, I explained this passage, and two very well-known people who you know from your Radio 4, one of them said to me, and the other underlined it later, but he said, oh, I'd never thought Paul said that. It's much harder for man, isn't it? And I thought, well, actually, great, but somebody who wasn't a Christian had their ears open to what the apostle was saying. So let me go to wives first and husbands. First, wives are to be like the church, God's people. Verse 22, wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of a wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. I don't want to go into great doctrinal explanations this morning, but all of human ordering springs from the nature of God himself, who's revealed himself to be Trinity, triune, in his Godhead. And of course, submission springs out from the Godhead because Christ submits to God the Father. Men and women submit to Christ. It says here, but women to men in marriage. And just as Christ is not inferior to God, so neither is a woman inferior to a man. even in submission. Male and female, Genesis says, he made them. In the image of God, he made them. Submit is a general principle. Scripture commands it, and it teaches here that the husband is the head of a family. But sadly, you know, that's not always the case, because husbands die young or are killed sometimes. And actually, submitting is all part of respecting, mentioned in verse 33. The wife must respect her husband. Equality of worth is not equality of role. And responsibilities are not identical, because God loves diversity. We'll have our own opinions, I know. But we can all agree that marriage is a partnership. My conviction, because of the conviction of the Apostle Paul, is there are specific roles for men and women. Verse 22, submit to one another, but also wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. There will be, in a marriage, mutual decision making. But the wonderful principle here is that a wife can rest secure in her submission to her husband, because the husband, if they're Christians, are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, Christian husbands, you're not as a dictator to command, as you will, but like Christ, to protect and rescue and provide. And the husband, certainly in our marriage, in my marriage, we take decisions together. But sometimes in life, you may not quite know what direction to go. And I think sometimes men need to step up to take their God-given responsibility and to lead. A number of wives do complain that there's no leadership from their husbands on some key things at home. And actually, men, we should be aware that actually, not only do we discuss things with our wives, but we're aware of our own fallibility as well as our responsibility. And the wife should be a visual aid of Christian discipleship. Wives, that's a massive responsibility. Living with your husband, watching should cause your husband to say, Samantha or Sarah, whatever the name is a reminder to me of how I should submit myself to Jesus Christ in obedience. Wives, be like the church. God's people, submit. Second, husbands. Husbands, be like Christ. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands are to give themselves up in sacrificial service for their wives. It was Montgomery who told the Sandhurst cadets once, it is unwise to marry until you've mastered the art of warfare. But better is unwise to marry until your mind is set on one of self-sacrifice. That's what verses 25 to 27 are saying. Just as Christ gave himself up for us to bring us forgiveness and a fresh start, so husbands, lay down your lives for your wives. And the Lord Jesus did not boss the church. He didn't domineer. He didn't issue orders, oppress or exploit. No, he came to us. And with bread and wine later, we recall Jesus' death for us. Yes, and my failure in family life, my failure in every area of life, finds forgiveness alone in the blood of Christ shed for me, for you. That was thoroughly undeserved. It was indescribably costly. It's all giving, no taking. Do you agree with me? If it's hard for wives to submit, this responsibility laid on husbands is even harder. To lay down their lives. It's a command which is very clear. Husbands, you must be prepared to have your body crucified for your wife. And in so doing, something wonderful occurs. The wife is liberated by her husband's love into what God means her to be. Without wrinkle or blemish, holy and blameless, as Paul puts it. And may I say that husbands are to care their wives spiritually as well as physically. Really important to do that. We aren't always good at encouraging our wives in their Christian discipleship. Agatha Christie was married to Sir Max Millan, the Egyptologist and archaeologist. And at the end of her life, she said this, I quote, "The great thing about being married to an archaeologist is the older you get, the more interest it becomes in you." So laid on each one who's married here this morning, those who will be married, husbands, there's to be an ongoing sacrificial love. Wives, you ought to be a visual aid of Christian discipleship. Be like the church wives, like God's people, obedient, submitting. Husbands, take an even weightier commission, be like Christ. Friends, mutual submission in marriage and these different aspects require great strength and joyful acceptance of God's will. Somebody once said to me at a wedding, a marriage in church is just a piece of paper. I wonder, do you think that? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in the last days of war. He's a brilliant theologian. He'd led the Confessing Church against Nazi Germany, and his power as a Bible teacher was immense, his influence across the country. And Bonhoeffer said this in one of his writings, "It's not your love which will sustain your marriage, but your marriage will sustain your love." A piece of paper and the gospel, that means a lot. And we have a lovely